From Spark and Anvil and Mindforge, this is Vayne in Chapter 1 of the Mindforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. High on the roof of the Mindforge Academy sat a small bird named Vayne, and on the very tip of her tail spun a tiny copper arrow. It was not a pretend arrow. It really turned. When the wind came from the east, it pointed east. When the wind shifted, it shifted. Vayne had grown up with it and never thought it strange. What was strange, she thought, was how many creatures said the wind was just wind, as if there were only one kind. "There's never only one kind," Vayne would say. She had a quick, light voice, like someone sharing a secret she was delighted by. "There's the wind that smells like rain coming, the wind that pushes you uphill, the wind that sneaks under the door. They feel the same for about 1 second, then they don't." Down in the courtyard, a young squirrel named Wren stood with her arms crossed and her tail in a knot. "I feel bad," Wren announced, to no one and everyone. "Just bad, that's it." Vayne tilted her head. Her copper arrow gave a small, interested spin.
Vayne came down from the roof in 3 soft hops and landed on the bench beside Wren. She did not say, "calm down." She had never once said that to anyone. It seemed to her a strange thing to ask of a feeling, like asking the weather to stop being weather. "Bad," Vayne repeated, as if tasting the word. "That's a good place to start. But you know what I've noticed? Bad is usually the front door. The real feeling is somewhere further down the hall." Wren frowned. "It's just bad." "Maybe," said Vayne kindly. "Let's check." Her tail arrow began to turn, slow and careful, the way it did when the wind couldn't make up its mind. "When you say bad, does it feel hot and fast, like you want to stamp your foot? Or heavy and slow, like your backpack got full of stones? Or small and sharp, like something pinched you where no one can see?" Wren went quiet. The question had more room in it than she expected. "The pinch one," she said at last. "The small, sharp one." The copper arrow stopped turning. It pointed, gently, at nothing Wren could see. But Wren felt it point somehow, straight at the sore spot.
They walked the long way around the courtyard while the arrow held its direction. "There's a word for the small, sharp one," Vayne said. "Actually, there are lots. That's the thing nobody tells you. There are dozens of feelings wearing the same coat called bad, and they all want different things." She hopped along the low wall, keeping pace. "Angry wants to push. Scared wants to hide. Embarrassed wants to disappear. Lonely wants to be found. They look alike from far away. Up close, they're as different as 4 kinds of wind." "Why does it even matter which one?" Wren asked. "Bad is bad." Vayne's eyes went bright, because this was her very favorite part. "Because what helps angry doesn't help lonely. If you stamp your foot when you're really lonely, you just end up alone and tired. But if you find the right word," she spun her arrow once, lightly, "the word points you toward the thing that actually helps. The word is a compass, Wren, not a label, a compass." Wren turned that over. She had always thought naming a feeling was like getting a sticker on a chart. She had not thought of it as a direction to walk.
"Okay," Wren said slowly. "Let's do the small, sharp one. Where does it point?" Vayne settled beside her and let the arrow turn free. "Don't reach for the word," she said. "Let it come." "When did the pinch start?" "At lunch," said Wren. "Everyone was planning the weekend, the whole table, and nobody..." She stopped. The arrow had begun to swing, sure and steady, away from a word and toward a different one. "Nobody asked me," Wren finished, very quietly. "Hmm," said Vayne, not pushing. "Angry would want to push the table over. Does that fit?" Wren shook her head. "No, I don't want to push it. I want to be at it." "There's your word," Vayne said softly. The arrow had stopped. "Not angry, left out. That's the small, sharp one. And left out doesn't want a stamped foot. Left out wants to be included.
Now you know which way to walk. Toward someone, not away. Ren breathed out. It was the strangest thing. Nothing about lunch had changed. Nobody had come back to ask her anything, and yet the knot in her tail had loosened by exactly one loop, because the feeling finally had its real name, and the real name was so much smaller and so much more solvable than bad. That evening, Sage, who watched over all of Mindforge with the patience of someone who had named a great many feelings in their own time, found the two of them still on the wall, the copper arrow turning idly in the cooling air. "She thought she was just bad," Vane reported. "Turned out she was left out. Whole different wind." Sage nodded slowly. "And how does left out feel?" they asked Ren, "now that it has its name." Ren considered. The pinch was still there, a little, but it had edges now, and a direction, and somehow that made it bearable. The way a dark room feels different the moment you know where the door is. "It feels," Ren said carefully, "like something I can do something about. It feels less like a wall and more like a path." She looked up at the small bird beside her. "It feels lighter just from knowing what it's actually called." Vane's tail arrow gave one happy spin and then went still, pointing, for once, at nothing in particular, because the weather inside Ren had finally settled into a word she could hold.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Vane. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.